Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. No matter how old we are, there will be times when we have questions for God. The following is from the book, More Children's Letters to God. Dear God, Charles, my cat, got run over. And if you made it happen, you have to tell me why. Signed, Harvey. Well, I don't believe God made it happen that Charles the cat got run over. I think it was a driver of a car who probably didn't see Charles dash across the street and then ran over him. I also don't believe that God decided a Category 5 tornado should cut right through downtown Joplin, Missouri. But I do believe that a weather pattern formed that built up atmospheric pressure of thunder and rain with winds 300 miles an hour. And that storm caused death, destruction, and suffering. I do not have answers for the mystery of the problem of suffering. In the second reading today, we heard, it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering is God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. That phrase, God's will, is also difficult to understand and explain. It is more than I can handle in this sermon. However, I do not believe that God is a puppet master with nature or with us. I believe God gave us free will and does not manipulate people or situations or our health. And just as I believe God does not control us or nature, we cannot control God and the answers we would like from God. And that is all mystery, the mystery of God's presence. It is hard to explain the power of God, faith, and prayer. I got an email from a parishioner the other day that included the following sentence. God has seen me through much worse than this, and I have faith that he is with me now. So faith is a gift, a living gift of grace. The purpose of the second reading from Peter was to prevent those early Christians from ruining the precious gift of faith through bitterness or discontent. We can become bitter when unexpected, undeserved tragedy happens. Those first century believers faced persecution. They faced suffering, death, and unresolved, anxious situations like we all do. So these epistles were written, like the one we have today, to build up our faith. These words are for us, that in the midst of suffering, believe. Do not fear and do not be intimidated, as Scripture says, accounting for the hope that is within you. This letter of 1 Peter encourages hope that even Jesus Christ suffered for doing good. And the hope that is in Christ is the hope of the Holy Spirit in us. So in anxious moments, yes, we may feel scared, but it is the Spirit within that helps us endure. The desire to survive is a basic instinct. Those who survived the tornadoes in the Midwest and the South and the floodwater destruction along the Mississippi lost every physical thing they owned. But even in the midst of the power of a tornado, the power of love survived. For in one neighborhood in Joplin, a baby was found being bottle-fed by a total stranger as a tornado passed overhead. Loving and caring for others is the activity of God's presence, and it can happen anywhere. Now, the Navy SEALs were in the news recently. Eric Greitens is a Navy SEAL who wrote a book about his SEAL training. He said they started with the best, men who were track and football stars, championship swimmers, wrestlers, and boxers. But in Eric's class of 220 men, only 21 were still standing at the end of the training. In his book, Eric talks about Hell Week, when men dropped out in clusters. He asked, what kind of man makes it through Hell Week? First, he told about those who did not make it. He called them weightlifting meatheads, kids covered with tattoos, prima donna athletes. They washed out in droves, he said. But listen to what Eric says about those who did make it. Almost all the men who survived possessed one common quality. Even in great pain, faced with a test of their lives, they had the ability to step outside of their own pain, put aside their own fear, and ask, how can I help the guy next to me? They had more than the fist of courage and physical strength. They also had a heart large enough to think about others, to dedicate themselves to a higher purpose. Think about that for a moment. The guys who made it were those who, in the toughest moments of their lives, stopped to ask, how can I help the guy next to me? Their caring about others made them strong. They got back more than they gave away. So when Jesus calls us to love one another, it is not just for the sake of the other person. When we love one another, when we help each other, love makes us strong. In the process of giving, we receive. And in those moments of unselfish giving, something shifts within us, and we become stronger, strong enough to survive our toughest moments. When we love, thinking about someone else's needs before our own, we love in the heroic way of the gospel. It is what our world needs, our parish needs, and what our families need. Love in Christian action, Jesus promised, will be guided by His Spirit. It is a spirit of truth. Jesus described the gift of this Spirit as an advocate. So what does an advocate look like? A member of St. Peter's Episcopal Church in San Pedro, who was 91 years old, went to a rehabilitation center recently. His son has been checking on him daily. His son is in his late 60s. And has had to step in and become an advocate for his father. Each day he goes in to see how his dad is doing. And he has had to step in and challenge the kind of care his dad has been receiving. For instance, he noticed that his dad's intravenous bag was empty. The IV drip he was supposed to receive 24 hours a day was not being carefully monitored. Also, as a result of a lack of attention with a hemoglobin count, his dad was rushed back to the hospital last Friday night. So we all face situations when we have to become an advocate for someone else. The most obvious are all the ways parents are advocates for their children, and vice versa when their parents become older. The word advocate comes from the Greek parakletos, which translates one who has been called to our side to stand up for us. Another nuance of this word in the Greek is that it is a force on the move. In other words, the Spirit of God is a constant presence, present in every circumstance. So whether one is suffering physical, emotional, or mental pain, whether one is caught in a tornado or helpless in a rehab facility, the Spirit of God is with us, an advocate at our side. It is this Spirit that strengthens us when we are alone and suffering, or inspires us to step out of our comfort zone and be used as God's advocate. The command of the gospel is to do this with love. But I have to admit, it is not always easy to love one another. We can be the cause of suffering. Whenever we get together with other people, there is the potential for differences of opinion, power struggles, and hurt feelings. Every married couple knows that. And we have experienced it here in this church. So we need to work on loving each other. We need to communicate and we need to listen. We need to try to understand the other person, to care about the other person's feelings, to find mutually agreeable solutions, especially as we work together during the antique show this week. And that's hard work. But it's the only way to live the Christian way of life. When we love one another, when we help each other, love makes us strong. For it is in the process of giving that we receive. In the process of prayer and surrender, something shifts within us, and we become stronger, strong enough to endure and survive our own difficulties, our unanswered questions about suffering. Jesus assures us that we will never be alone, ever. No matter what pain we face, no matter what the cause of our suffering, we have an advocate, the Spirit of love, and truth will live in us. So I shall end this sermon as I started, with a letter to God. Dear God, I just feel good knowing that you are everywhere. Respectfully, Margaret. Amen.